So, with our last class, we finished up to shloka number 5. Today we start with shloka number 6. In the previous shloka, Adi Shankaracharya ji gave ideas about different philosophy, different schools of thoughts. And these schools, when we test their understanding, according to the Vedantic understanding, they're not thought about it too much. It's not that they're wrong, but the progress has not happened where they've just considered an aspect of the creation as the truth and went with that. They were satisfied by that much and they were okay with it. Vedanta says, no, we are not satisfied by this mere small happiness. We want that eternal happiness. So it has continued to keep asking question till one realizes this truth. Of those thoughts, there was one called Shunyavada. Taking that topic of Shunyavada, this shloka number 6 is focusing on. So Shunyavada basically says, Shunya, nothing. So their philosophy says that nothing is the nature of the self. And Vedanta says that cannot be true. Nothing cannot be the nature of the self. And their biggest argument against this is deep sleep. So what happens in deep sleep? Where is your Atma? Vedantin says, Atma is everything. Where is this Atma? Do you experience your Atma? So there is nothing in deep sleep. So because there is nothing in deep sleep, that is the nature of the self. This is how they come up with this argument. So taking that idea, Adi Shankaracharya ji elaborates. Well, let's go into this idea of deep sleep and let's inquire. That is how he approaches. So he says, now to the shloka, we'll first see the meaning and then we'll see what this whole shloka is trying to. Yaha Uman, that is on the second line, the last part. Yaha Uman, this person, by using the word Uman, also it is indicated that this self, this Paramatma, this ultimate nature. So Yaha Puman, is Sanmatra. It is existence alone. So Sanmatra is an adjective to Puman. So this person is existence alone. When is he existence alone? So Sushuptaha, during the time of deep sleep. And how did he get there? So Karana Upasamharanataha. Haranata, Harana means to take away, right? To retract. Samharanata means to retract the life, that it doesn't go back. And what is retracted? Karana, instruments. So our instruments of action, our instrument of perception, antahkarana. So Bahishkarana, Antahkarana, both. So our 10 senses, Indriyas, and mind, intellect, Chitta, Anga. All four, all of those have been subdued, have been made into its causal form. So yaha puman sushuptaha, when goes to sleep, withdraws all the senses and remains as sat alone. But if this is the sat alone, why are we not able to experience this sat? What is the reason that I cannot know? So then the reasoning given is maya samachhadanat. Achhadana means to veil. So samachhadana, a very perfect veiling caused by maya. So during deep sleep, the maya veils the nature of the self. Therefore, we cannot experience the nature of the self, but the self is sanmatra, is existence alone. And during that state, all our senses are withdrawn. And this is how the person abhut. This is how the person condition is. So this is what Adi Shankaracharya is describing as deep sleep state. So by describing the deep sleep state, then he gives an example that what is this deep sleep state trying to show in connection with the self. So the example says, Rahu Grasta Divakara Indu Sadrushaha. Sadrushaha, just as how Rahu, we know, right? From the very famous story, when there was that Rakshasa who drank the Amruta, and he was sitting in between Surya and Chandra. So Divakara and Indu. Divakara means sun and Indu is moon. So between the two, this Rakshasa was there. They pointed out to Bhagavan Vishnu, this is a Rakshasa. So before it could go, his head was chopped off. So that piece which was chopped off the head, that became Amrita, that became immortal. So, but it had, you know, wanted to take revenge. So now it always goes and swallows up. So because it was a head that could swallow up, but there's no body, it doesn't retain. So from one end it goes and the other end it comes like that. That is how the eclipses. I mean, we know it is an eclipse event, but to put it into a poetic format, that is what our scriptures are doing. So how the Rahu swallows the sun and the moon. Like that, this Maya is swallowing this nature of the sun when one goes to deep sleep. So to say that in deep sleep there is no self is wrong. Self is there. What is the proof? How can you prove that self is there? Now, the question comes is, how can we prove the self is there? Is from the same example, it says, okay, you look at the solar eclipse, lunar eclipse. Okay? Although the moon gets covered, although the sun gets covered, still, we can see their covering also because of the sun. Okay? When the sun is completely, total, full eclipse, everything becomes dark. Yet in that darkness, you can still see the sun covered. So the point is that you can say that the sun got covered by the light of the sun. What is a proof like that with the self? That self was there in deep sleep state. So then the proof is explained in the next line. Yaha, this person who had gone into deep sleep. So yaha sushuptaha puman, the person who had gone to sleep. Yaha prabodha samaya, when the person wakes up at the time of waking up. Prak swapsam iti, before I was asleep. So what is the experience of the person who wakes up? Before I was asleep. Pratyabhijna. There's a pratyabhijna. What is this pratyabhijna? We'll come to that. But there's this experience. So pratyabhijna, I think it is defined as remembers. Here the English translation given is remembers. But remember is not a full description of pratyabhijna. But for now, let us just use the terminology remember for simplicity's sake, and then we'll go deeper into it. So the person who wakes up from deep sleep has this experience that before I was asleep, I had good sleep, I was happy, and I did not know. This is the experience. This experience is the proof enough that the self is present in each. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Shri Dakshinamurtaye Idam. So to Dakshinamurti Bhagavan, my prostration. Now, how is it, you know, that the shloka explains this? Because sleep is a very natural occurrence for us. We know sleep, how it works. There isn't something new that Adi Shankaracharya told. How does it tell that self is present in deep sleep? So first, let's understand how deep sleep works. And then we will again go back to the shloka. First, let me clear out the whole understanding of the shloka. Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya is saying is that during deep sleep, a person retracts all the instruments. So the senses cannot perceive the object world outside. Mind also cannot perceive the world inside, the inner world. Right? Our thoughts, our previous experiences, remembrance, none of that is experienced. Everything is retracted. Karana upasamharanata. Sanmatra, and stays in its absolute form of Sat. Now, by saying that it is in the absolute form of Sat, doesn't mean that there is no consciousness, doesn't mean that there is no bliss. That is also experience. So, in deep sleep, when this is the experience, then when the person wakes up, says that I was the one who went to sleep. And I slept happily. This remembrance is enough to tell that I was the self alone. So this is what the shloka is getting at. Our is to analyze the idea of deep sleep. So to understand deep sleep, let's first understand how experiences happen in the waking world. Okay. We've talked about this idea of vritti. Right? Vritti is a modification that happens by the chidabhasa. We also talked about what is chidabhasa. The reflected consciousness, when this reflected consciousness gets mixed with an object of the world, then there comes about a thought. That thought is what we call as vritti. This vritti is then illumined by the chidabhasa. That reflected consciousness illumines it. And then we have what we call as an experience of sensory perception or a thought for that matter. So when I look at this camera in front of me, my vritti happened. Because chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness, went and enveloped that. Right? So that is what we call as vritti vyapti. And then because of the light of consciousness, it was revealed. So phala vyapti also. Okay? This is how waking state works. Okay? So you require all your senses for us to have an experience of the world. Now let's go into dream state. When we go into dream state, our sensory perception are not the same as our waking state sensory perception. Those sensory perception have gone to sleep. It doesn't mean that you tickle somebody when they're sleeping, they won't react. They're not dead. They're there, but those sensory input will not be registered as somebody is tickling. It will be registered as anything, whatever that person's vasana may be. The person may feel like an ant is crawling upon me. The person may feel like they are, a king and somebody is feathering them. Whatever vasana they may have. So according to the vasana, they will create. So in dream state, what will happen? You do not require your senses, but you require your mind. So the mind is, again, creating a vritti. Chidabhasa is illumining that vritti. Because chidabhasa has to be there. Our mind, intellect, well, intellect has gone to sleep because intellect cannot decipher. If somebody is tickling us, intellect can register what is happening and decipher for us. But in dream state, because intellect is not there, it cannot decipher. So only thing that is working for us is that mind, which is experiencing along with the vasanas. So therefore, in dream state, mind is there. And when we reach deep sleep state, even that is not there. So no senses and no mind. During this state, therefore, we say is the senses and the mind have gone to their seedal form, to its cause. And by it going to its cause doesn't mean that it vanished somewhere in thin air. You can think of it as like a record player that is going on and it's playing, you know, it's playing its sound and all that thing. But then on top of that record player, you put some kind of layer. So it doesn't register anymore, but the thing is continuing to play. You no longer are able to recognize what is happening. The movement is still going. Think about it later. But the idea is it has gone to a causal state. Like how when we develop an impression about something, say, in our mind, there is an impression of earning a lot of money. Now, this impression of earning a lot of money goes and stays in the seedal form, and it expresses when we are either working or when we find an opportunity to make money. That this is now a time for me to make money. But in the background, it is there, but in foreground, it is not seen as much. Only when the circumstances, situations come about, that's when it comes in the foreground. So when it was in the background, it is in that causal state. So like that, the senses and our mind goes into that causal state. And this causal state is what is called as karana upasamharanata. So all the retracting has happened. So then in that state, what happens to the mind? Oh, sorry, not mind. What happens to the self? The self is merely existing as presence. It is, there is no knowledge expressed at that moment. Knowledge is there, bliss is also there. If bliss were not there when we wake up, how can we say, I had good sleep, I slept very well. So bliss is also there. And the other thing is knowledge is also there. Because if knowledge were not there, how can, when I wake up, I say, I know. But knowledge and bliss during the deep sleep state are not verbalized. They're not loud enough for us to experience them. This is deep sleep state. So they're not loud enough, but what is loud enough is the isness, that I existed. Nobody can deny that. Nobody can say that I did not exist. Okay. So what happened in deep sleep state? There is no mind. There are no senses. And when there is no mind, Chidabhasa is also not there. Chidabhasa is also not there. What happened to Chidabhasa? Chidabhasa also went into the causal stuff. So if mind is not there, senses are not there, chidabhasa is not there, who is there? That is what we're calling as sanmatra. This sanmatra, another term, can be used as sakshi. The witness. So this witness is the self. We have to say witness and not the absolute self, because during deep sleep state is witnessing the nothingness. So what is experienced during deep sleep state? The object of experience is nothingness, that veiling. And who is experiencing it? Sakshi is experiencing. Now, how does this sakshi really work? So let's again go back to waking world. In waking world, when we had a thought, I presented the idea about a camera. I have a thought about a camera. So when I have a thought about a camera, Chidabhasa tells that I saw a camera. This is the voice that says, I saw the camera. But Sakshi also is present, and Sakshi says, under my light. So under which light is Chidabhasa able to see this? Chidabhasa doesn't have its own light. Chidabhasa doesn't have its own way to shine. How to understand this? There is a dark room. Okay? Assume there is a dark room. And through that dark room, there is one, from one place, there is sunlight coming. And when the sunlight is coming in, you take a mirror and then you reflect it on the other end. And that area is now shining. So is the power to light up that area in that mirror, or is it in the sunlight? It is in that sunlight. So what did the mirror do? Mirror merely reflected it. So when the mirror reflects the light, we have an experience that I illumined that. So that's what the Chidabhasa is doing. When we have an experience of the object, Chidabhasa says, I illumined the object. But Sakshi is saying that I was the witness of this illumination. And this thought is not vocal. It's not verbalized. It is a silent. And because it is silent, we don't even say it is a thought. It was not a thought. It is an experience. Like right now, wherever we are all, each one of us are able to see the other, because there is a light in that room. So the light in the room is a bystander, it's a byproduct that is already assumed. It doesn't need to be vocalized. But when I say, I saw Neetuji, I saw Himaji, I saw like that, I saw everybody. When I say that, I'm also saying that under that tube light or under that, because of that light, I am seeing this. It is assumed, it is given, but we don't vocalize. Likewise, in waking state also, because of the light of Sakshi, the Chidabhasa is able to illumine objects of the heart. In deep sleep state, the Chidabhasa has folded itself. So because the Chidabhasa has folded itself, the light is happening. Sakshi is there. But what is Sakshi illumining? Nothing. Sakshi is not illumining anything. Getting that idea? So because Sakshi is not illumining anything, we have an experience of nothing. But by that experience of nothing, there's an understanding that Sakshi is present. Does that idea make sense? Okay. If it doesn't make sense, I'll give another idea. Let's see if this works. Okay, I think it works. Yeah, okay, it works. Okay. All right. This is the flashlight of my camera. Now, when the flashlight is there, you see the light here, and now you see my hand here, okay? Right? Oh. When I remove my hand, do you see a light? No, you don't see the light, but you can tell the light is there. Not by seeing any light, but you can tell the light is there. It is like when you have gone to movie theaters and you see that, you know, there's like a ray of light that is falling, and you can see that. And in that you see dancing all these different dust particles also. But you could see that, right? Okay. So this is where the play of action happening, right? So this is where the action is happening. So you can assume my hand as the Chidabhasa. So whatever Chidabhasa is showing is what we are experiencing as the world, right? The moment Chidabhasa goes away, what is the experience now? The experience is of nothing. There is nothing. So that's why in deep sleep I say I experience nothing, because Chidabhasa is doing nothing. But what is Sakshi doing? Sakshi is still present. Sakshi is still continuing what it's continuing to do. Okay. Now, interesting thing is, when light is here, the distance between the hand and the distance between this camera, light is also in between. It is not that the light is simply here at the hand. Light is always in between. So if I move the object closer, you can see the light there. And if I move it farther, so light is everywhere. So it illumines everything. So now the point of this idea was to tell that during deep sleep state, what is the object of experience? Nothing, because Chidabhasa is going to sleep. Who is experiencing the deep sleep state? Sakshi. Sakshi is experiencing the deep sleep state. Another question. Who remembers this deep sleep state? This is the most important part. who remembers that deep sleep state has happened? Because in order for us to remember, mind has to be there. And we said, mind is not there. And this is where the idea of pratyabhijna comes in. Who remembered that deep sleep was there? So pratyabhijna is what allows us to know that deep sleep happened. So what is pratyabhijna? The world is very big, but the idea is very simple. We have experienced it many times. Have you gone to meet some relatives or somebody after a while? And you see and meet their children. And you tell, is this the same boy that I saw so many years ago? Before I saw was without any teeth or one or two teeth fallen. Now look at him. Or an experience where you had gone to one place long time ago. You don't remember, but you had gone there. The next time you go to that same place and a recollection comes to your mind, I was here before. Now, when you say, I was here before, at that moment, there are two things happening. You are using your present experience and you are matching it with your memory, with your remembrance. So your present experience, you're matching it with your remembrance and you're saying that there is a continuity. I was there. So I was the same person who saw that young boy, and I am the same person who is seeing him older now. Or I was the same person who was there at that place, and I have now come back to that same place again. This is what is known as pratyabhijna. And pratyabhijna, as I was saying, is not a remembrance. It is not a memory, because think about something as a memory. Just for the sake of an experiment, just think about something as a memory. Okay. Have you all thought about something? Some kind of memory you think about. When you thought about your memory, what did you have to do? You have to go deeper into your mind and you have to recollect that memory. Correct? You have to think about what that thought was. That is what we call as memory. Now, thinking from that perspective, that this is what memory really means, this is what remembrance means, is to remember that thought from the morning when I drank that glass of water. You remembered, you recollected that. Now, compare this remembrance with when you wake up. When you wake up from your sleep, at that time, do you have a remembrance or do you have an experience? Do you have a remembrance or do you have an experience that says, I was the one sleeping? It is not a remembrance. I can only remember that which my mind has already experienced. If my mind has not experienced it, how can I remember? So when we wake up, it is an innate feeling that I was there. That's why it doesn't require a voice to tell us that I have to remember that I was there. I don't require the mind. So therefore, who is remembering? So what is happening is that during that state, during that deep sleep state, that I am present is registering in the Karana Sharira. So that presence is there in Karana Sharira, that I am present. When we wake up, it manifests as a thought that I was present, which doesn't require any remembrance, doesn't require memory, doesn't require antakarana, doesn't require mind. That Karana Sharira state is expressing that feeling of I was present. So who is remembering? The Karana Sharira. Two more things. Sometimes we, you know, ask questions and we have curiosity about deep sleep state is what makes us go into deep sleep? What makes us go into deep sleep and what makes us come out of deep sleep? So we go into deep sleep because our prarabdha, no, not prarabdha, our tamas has overpowered us. So the tamasic nature that is within us, sattva rajas tamas, we all know. So the tamasic nature has overpowered the other two, which is what takes us into deep sleep. So there's great amount of tamas there. What makes us come out of deep sleep is when our prarabdha has given us the fruit and now it wants to give us different fruit. So our prarabdha is causing us to come out. So what does that mean that our prarabdha is causing us? So our rishis, the great saints, they say is that when the person comes out, the sukha that they had, they exhausted that sukha during that deep sleep state. But once they finish that sukha, to experience the dukkha of the samsara, they come out. And sukha also, it's not that just simply that one comes to experience dukkha only, but that sukha is not the same sukha as the deep sleep sukha. Because when we come out of deep sleep, the sukha we experience is broken. It's not continuous sukha. In our deep sleep, our sukha is continuous. That's why we lose time also. We don't remember that I was experiencing this much sukha. But when we wake up, our experience is that I have great amount of sukha. So what is bringing us out? Our exhaustion of our punya. When our punya is exhausted, that's what brings us out. So alarm doesn't bring us out. We think that, you know, by the alarm ringing, it wakes us up. No, because many times that happened, that alarm's been ringing only, but we have never come out because our prarabdha is not ready to give us a different result yet. And many times, even before the alarm ringing, we wake up. So alarm is merely just a factor. And alarm can wake up who? Alarm goes and wakes up the person who is hearing. In deep sleep, we're not able to hear. So when the alarm is ringing and I heard it, that means I was not in deep sleep. I was out of deep sleep. I was in that dream state. Okay. This was out of syllabus topic, but you know, I thought I mentioned it. But this is to cover the idea of what is deep sleep and what is pratyabhijna. This pratyabhijna is the proof enough that I existed in deep sleep state. And this I that existed is the sakshi, the pure witness. Deep sleep state is different from samadhi. In the state of samadhi, same thing is happening. Mind is not there. Senses are also not there. But the mind has not gone into dullness. The mind is not in tamas. In deep sleep, the mind goes in tamas, and that's why there's an experience of nothing. But in samadhi, mind is widely awake. But the experience is the same, in that sakshi, in its nature, is then seen by this mind. So when the mind sees it, the mind forgets that mind itself exists as something separate. So the only thing that remains is the sakshi. And that experience is then vocalized when the person comes out of samadhi is aham brahmasmi. So that concludes our shloka number 6. So what happens in deep sleep state? In deep sleep state, I retract all the senses because of the Maya's veiling power. Like how the sun and the moon are veiled by the Rahu. In that same way, this Maya covers who? The Sat, that existence nature, covers it up. Therefore, we're not able to experience. But when I wake up, prabodha samaye, ya pratyabhijna, there is a pratyabhijna, there is an experience combined with remembrance. That I was present in that state. That tells me that there has to be something. Cannot say nothing was my nature. Something was there. And that something is me. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshinamurtaye, Idam. So, to Bhagavan Dakshinamurti, who gives me this knowledge, is my teacher. Okay, last few minutes. Any questions, thoughts, comments?
Hariyam Dhiranj.
Hariyam Amaji.
I have a question. I think you answered some of the question. I had a question about what is the difference between samadhi and deep sleep. But what happens to Chidabhasa in samadhi state?
So in samadhi state, Chidabhasa is there. It has not gone to sleep anymore. Because that's Chidabhasa is very well awake. But Chidabhasa is its separatedness, its difference from Sakshi is no longer seen. So that Chidabhasa melts away, and the only thing that is remember. The only thing that is experienced as I am is the Sakshi. And that experience is the state of self-realization.
So the person who was in samadhi, do they remember when they come out? That is the feeling same as in deep sleep?
when they come out of samadhi, they know very well that I was in the state of samadhi. And if they come out of samadhi and they say, I didn't experience anything, but I was happy, that means they didn't go into samadhi, they went into deep sleep. But if they come out of samadhi and they say, I was present, I experienced, then that is that state of samadhi. Obviously, they're not going to vocalize it, but you get the idea that in the state of samadhi, Chidabhasa is present. It is awake. But Chidabhasa goes into the state of sattva. And when it goes into the state of, I shouldn't even say sattva, super sattva. So when it goes into that state of super sattva is knowledge. So when it is in that state of knowledge, all it does is it stays still. There is no oscillation. There is no movement at all. And because there is no movement, all one sees is its real nature.
So what the Shunyavadi's experience is not samadhi, is that correct?
So to speak about Shunyavada, I would be mistaken. So I don't know how fully that is. But my feeling is that Shunyavadi also reaches the state of samadhi. But the only thing is they're calling it as Shunya. We're calling it as Purna. So they're not able to express it well. So therefore they say it is emptiness. There is nothing. But we're saying, no, don't say nothing. Because when you say nothing, you will actually even negate the Atma. You will say Atma is also not there. But we're saying, no, Atma is there. That where you reach, that is yourself. Gurudev in Meditation and Life presents this very nicely. Gurudev says in Meditation and Life that you have an appointment with somebody to meet in a park. And when you have that appointment, that you're meeting this person, when you reach the park, you will be searching for this person. And when you go, when you meet and you find that person, you'll say, aha, this is the person who had called me to meet and I have met him. So the state of samadhi, where the whole time scriptures have been saying, aham brahmasmi, or tattvamasi, tattvamasi, tattvamasi. In that state of samadhi, when I go and search and I find it, that's when I come and say, aham brahmasmi. But if one who has never understood this, they will pass across this person and say, I didn't experience anything. So they would have gone through that state of complete quietude. But they never experienced that feeling of aham brahmasmi. Because they missed it. And if they've missed it, it is very well could be that their mind was still present. So Chidabhasa was still there, was still doing its reflection. In Vedanta, we say Chidabhasa is there, but Chidabhasa is no longer different from Sakshi.
So, Dhiranji, from that perspective, then Pratyabhigna is not that component in Samadhi state, only in the example that you have provided, Pratyabhigna is only when to understand that continuity of the experience from deep sleep state to waking state.
Pratyabhigna will be applicable only when the person comes out in waking state. So even when the person comes out from samadhi state, the Pratyabhigna will be there.
Okay.
This time, the experience of the Pratyabhigna will be different. The person will say, I am that Atma the whole time. I was that Atma every single time. But because of my foolishness, I was thinking I was the Jiva. Here, the deep sleep state pratyabhijna is different. That I was the one who was in deep sleep state, and I am the one who have woken up with a good sleep.
Hariyom,
Hariyom.
So, Chidabhas, is that the jiva? Is that the mind intellect? Is that the reflection on the mind intellect? I'm a little confused because.
So, Chidabhas is the reflection of consciousness. And this reflection of consciousness is in Drigdrishya Vivek, it presents it and says that this Chidabhasa is the very source for the ego, Ahankara. So inherent in Chidabhasa is the entire antahkarana. But Chidabhasa is not simply antahkarana. We don't say that. So we say Chidabhasa is that full-fledged power to enlighten everything with the ego along with it. That I am the one who is enlivening everything. Whereas Sakshi doesn't say I am enlivening everything, doesn't say I'm making everything move. Sakshi merely is present and says, I am the witness. So to get to that level of Sakshi, all we have to do is detach from the I, the Ahankara. So who is Chidabhasa? Chidabhasa is this Sakshi which gets deluded by Ahankara. So the moment Ahankara comes, it becomes Chidabhasa.
Right. So that is the jiva.
That is a jiva. Chidabhasa is a jiva.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Chidabhasa is a jiva.
Okay.
Ahankara is a component of that.
Yes.
Okay. Ahankara, mana, buddhi, those are all components of the Chidabhasa. Chidabhasa is the entire entity.
The jiva. The jiva entity. And one more question is, mind is made of sattvic tanmatra, right?
Yes.
Sattvic portion of every tanmatra.
Yes.
We always say about mind going into tamas, mind going into rajas. What does that mean?
So, the components of the mind from which it is made, that is sattva. So, it has the ability to know. But the mind gets overpowered by tamas. So it no longer has the ability to know. And the moment it loses that ability to know, it has gone into tamas. So that is what we are saying. So mind is knowing. That is its job, to know. It doesn't stop knowing. But when it gets covered by this maya power, that's why it said maya samachhadana. So when the maya is putting its veil, mind is no longer known. That is what tamas is.
Thank you.
Okay. Let us then do the prayer and we'll conclude. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.
Thank you, Dhiranji.
Thank you, Dhiranji. Hari Om.
Thank you, Dhiranji.
Thank you.